With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Sports Desk, your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
All right, kiddos, here we go. Happy Tuesday. Headlines on Softy and Dick without Dick. You milling in for Dick. Brought to you, of course, by our friends at Buddy's Goodies and Glass. It's always 420 at Buddy's, baby.
We'll do it live.
Lots of news in the NBA. Carmelo Anthony, 65 years old. He's back, signing a one-year deal with the L.A. Lakers. And Steph Curry gets a four-year, $215 million extension with the Golden State Warriors. That's over $50 million a year. It's not bad. Mariners, 57-50 after an 8-2 win over Tampa Bay yesterday in Florida.
Yay!
Chris Flexen with win number 10. The Mariners now 14-6 and 20 starts so far with him. The NFL, the Colts, one day after announcing quarterback Carson Wentz will have foot surgery. The Colts saying today that all-pro guard Quentin Nelson also will be out 5 to 12 weeks with the same foot injury. In college foosball, ESPN reporting that Bob Boolsby, the Big 12 commissioner, George Kliavkoff, the Pac-12 commissioner, meeting today to discuss a potential partnership, whatever that means, between the two conferences. What do you say we find out exactly what that means with John Wilner, courtesy of SimplySeattle.com right now.
It's time for our weekly Pac-12 conversation with San Jose Mercury News reporter John Wilner. Brought to you by Simply Seattle. Our friends at SimplySeattle.com have the most amazing collection of all things Seattle. Seahawks gear, UW hats, and the largest selection of Sonics gear anywhere in the world. Learn more at SimplySeattle.com.
Sounders are playing tomorrow night. Is that correct?
They are.
Okay, I want you to check out what just went live at Simply Seattle on Twitter. I think you're going to want to have...
Oh, that hat on the left.
Yeah, that's dope.
That hat on the left.
That's like a... That's got 1970s Alan Hinton written all over it.
It does.
On the left. So check that out at Simply Seattle on Twitter. It's on my Twitter account as well, simplyseattle.com. Two new Sounder hats going live right now on the website. Joining us right now on the radio show, courtesy of our friends at simplyseattle.com, it's our pal John Wilner. Johnny, how are you, man?
I am good. How are you guys?
We're good. So Dick Fain is off today. Hugh Millen, who you remember, took the Huskies to Ann Arbor in 1984 and beat the Wolverines on the prowess of his mighty right arm, which the gods blessed as a thunderbolt when he was a baby. And he took it to Ann Arbor, and he beat the Wolverines in Michigan 37 years ago. Our question.
It was just you.
Nobody else played in the game besides Hugh Millen. He's with us today, John, because Dick's on vacation. So my question is this: are we going to see another quarterback walking into Ann Arbor from the state of Washington and beating the Wolverines and walking out of there with a victory on September 11th this year?
You know, I'd be surprised if it doesn't come down to the last 5 minutes. You know, or whoever's got the ball last. I think it should be a close game, probably a little low scoring. You know, you could see something like 24-21, 21-17. I think the Huskies have a great chance. Yeah, it'll be all about turnovers, right?
Yeah, I mean, it usually is, right? That's the biggest correlation. And, you know, I don't know. I just feel like Michigan right now is tall hat, few cattle, right? Where I think it'd be a sexy win for Washington, be a sexy win for the conference, but I think it's a doable win when you look at the Wolverines and the state of their program.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, Washington certainly has got an easier assignment than Oregon does. And ideally, Washington goes in there, wins that game, and then Michigan turns around and, you know, ends up 10-2 or, you know, 9-3, and that game has a... benefits the entire Pac-12 in terms of the postseason positioning.
Well, I just know this, that Jim Harbaugh is under fire big time in Ann Arbor. The story that came out over the offseason about Harbaugh getting an extension but apparently taking a pay cut is the most ridiculous cockamamie thing I've ever heard from a head coach in a major Power 5 program, is if that's supposed to appease the fan base. Hey, we're going to keep the guy, but he's making less money. What do I give a damn? How much money the guy's making? Am I getting some of that cash back in my pocket? So that's number one. But number two, John, I guess from a Jimmy Lake UW perspective, and no disrespect to Bobby Houck in Montana, but the Michigan game will be the biggest game that Jimmy Lake's ever coached so far in his career as a head coach. Would it be a bigger impact on the program and Jimmy Lake if they win the game, or a bigger impact on him if they lose the game?
I would say if they win the game, right? Because my guess is that most people are looking at it, still going to look at it like, you know, Washington's the underdog. The expectation is of close loss, moral victory kind of thing. So the biggest, you know, the biggest impact would be, well, I'd probably say this. Impact results, number one would be a blowout loss.
Yeah.
Number two would be a win. And then number three would be a close loss. In that order. I don't think a blowout loss would be a bad, bad outcome, no doubt.
And as we're talking about all these, the impact to the Pac-12 and the conferences and their stature, this is so fluid as to just what exactly the conferences are going to represent. There's reports that the Pac-12 is in conversation with other conferences. John, I'm going to just throw a blank slate to you in terms of the ongoing developments, because it seems almost daily that there's some we read some report, at least some suggestion of something almost tectonic, you know, and it seems like daily news, but just your thoughts about the state of college football, the conferences, and the Pac-12 in particular.
Well, there's a report that Dick Fain is in Waco, Texas right now, examining Baylor as a potential Pac-12 member.
That, by the way, that was supposed to stay private, so yeah, let's not let that word get out.
I think the biggest thing is that you can't overreact to any report, especially now. This process, whatever happens with the Pac-12, which could end up being nothing happens with the Pac-12 and everything remains status quo, it is going to take months. There's no real deadline. The earliest Texas and Oklahoma are joining the SEC is in, you know, 2 years, right?
Right.
Pac-12, it's going to take months. And so you can't overreact to every report of a meeting, every report of interest in one school joining another conference. You got to be very measured about the whole thing. The report today that the Pac-12 and Big 12 commissioners are meeting, it makes perfect sense for them to have some discussions about whether they can come up with some kind of partnership. I would expect that the Pac-12 either will or already has had similar discussions on a preliminary nature with the Big 10. It makes perfect sense. And it's going to be like this for a while. So I would just caution listeners not to overreact to any piece of news, partly because that news could be false, and also because everything is so preliminary.
Yeah, John Wilner with us, courtesy of SimplySeattle.com. And I agree with you that George Kliavkoff should be listening to anybody that wants to talk about anything. There's nothing wrong with listening, number one. But number two, I would just wonder the real kind of crux of the meeting today. And I mean, the real question is who knows, because nobody was there. So this is just a guess on everybody's part. Do you think it was more about, hey, one person goes in with the idea that they're going to merge? One person goes in with the idea that we're just going to have maybe a scheduling agreement like we used to have in basketball, where we'd play you guys every year in the non-conference, maybe set up another bowl where the Big 12, what's left of the Big 12, plays the Pac-12 every year? Do you think that one of the two, Kliavkoff or Bowlesby, went into this with the idea in the back of their head that, hey, this could be about a merger down the road?
I am skeptical that that would be from the Pac-12's view, right? I mean, the Big 12 is fighting for its survival. The Pac-12 is not, at least at this point, right? Bowlesby wants to keep the Pac-12 together. So he's not going to go into a meeting, you know, hoping that there's some kind of that the Pac-12 ends up swallowing up his conference, right? My guess is that they're talking about, you know, ways that they could partner on for competitive events that would increase their TV value, right? I mean, the Pac-12 is in an interesting situation because there are no obvious fits if you're going to talk about new members. There's not a Colorado or a Utah out there right now. The Pac-12 needs to figure out how it can increase its strength financially without increasing its membership because there are no good fits. So, you know, a scheduling arrangement with the Big 12 or with the Big 10 or perhaps some kind of combination of that may be a way to improve the TV value. And my guess is that that's what Bowlesby's main motivation is. What can he do with the Pac-12 that's going to help pacify his very anxious members and show that he's looking to find ways to secure his conference's future?
And as we're talking about the Pac-12 bringing in potential other teams, there's always the specter of the academic requirements and whether they're research institutions or on some level pass a certain academic stringent, right? I mean, it's not just about football. But, you know, John, I always think of a situation that is part literal, part metaphoric. It just kind of explains the financial nature of the Pac-12 and other conferences. And it's I think of USC and Oregon State. And in most of our lifetimes, we can remember right there during the heyday of the Pete Carroll era, Oregon State had back-to-back wins against the Trojans. And I feel like, you know, all the rules of the NCAA and all of the revenue sharing, here we are, you know, you grow up as a kid in America, you know, you feel like you're in a free market system, you know, your lemonade stand's better than Timmy's down the street, you can charge 25 cents more. Like there's a free market a sense of order that we have, and yet when USC is sharing the same amount with Oregon State of conference revenue, how long is it before USC just says, no, I'm going to break away, I'm being saddled by Oregon State, and they do some of the things that we've seen from Oklahoma and Texas, and they depart to be part of a super conference. I mean, that is something that as a Pac-12 purist, I just kind of fear. And that metaphor of USC versus Oregon State, again, it's part metaphor, part literal. But what's your take on where USC may ultimately land on that?
Well, I think you're right, Hugh, that the first thing the Pac-12's got to do and Kliavkov's got to do is make sure that his current 12 members are happy, starting with USC. And if that's the case, if the Pac-12 stays together, I think that there's going to be a limited amount of expansion across the country. But it will be very interesting to see if or how this situation gets leveraged by some of the schools, not just SC, but maybe even Oregon, Washington, right? The bigger football brands, to see about the revenue sharing. The Pac-12, you know, did not share revenue equally until, you know, 2012, right? That, in the Pete Carroll era, SC was getting more money than other schools based on TV appearances. In the last 10 years, it's been all shared equally. And even though they're not all bringing in the same, you know, they're not all worth the same. So that will absolutely be a discussion that's probably going on at some level behind the scenes and will continue to go on, is whether the Pac-12 is going to continue to share revenue equally among the 12 schools.
Well,
it's
John,
a huge issue.
Yeah, John Wilner with us for sure. And speaking of revenue, it's a great segue, John. John Wilner again with us, courtesy of SimplySeattle.com. Did you see this gender equity investigation that was done by this law firm? Remember at the Final Four, there was complaining and concerns about how much money the NCAA was spending on the women's weight room facility versus the men's facility, you know, food on the women versus food for the men, things like that. And they were crying foul that they weren't getting as much attention as the men were. And, you know, some would say, well, it's because you're not bringing in as much money. And yet others would come back and say, well, Title IX. They're entitled to exactly what the men get, and they should be spending as much money on the women as they are on the men. So Mark Emmert, the NCAA, went out and hired a law firm, and this law firm said, yeah, there's gross inequalities between how much the NCAA spends on women versus how much they spend on men, and they're even suggesting that they put the Final Fours in the same city and play them at the same time in the same stadium. Where is this all going? Because if the Pac-12 starts to lose their big guns, and if the NCAA just turns into the SEC, some of the small schools that rely on that revenue are going to have a hard time even existing.
Yeah, I mean, the NCAA has called a meeting, I think it's for November, where they're going to have a serious discussion about this, the current structure, where you have three divisions, right? And I wonder if, you know, we're closer than most people think to having, you know, the 130 football schools kind of breaking away a little bit and, you know, collecting a lot more money, because why should they support, you know, the University of Texas, Rio Grande Valley type
right.
of deal.
Right.
The women's basketball thing, though, is real interesting, because clearly, you know, what the NCAA did is they sold to ESPN a package of like 20 NCAA championships, and women's basketball was included in that package, and the total value is like $35 million. If they had just sold the women's tournament separately, it would be worth a lot more, and it would then have justified the NCAA spending, you know, increasing the expenses to make it a better tournament, closer to the way they run the men's. But they stupidly did sold everything together. I mean, it was, you know, comparatively, it makes the Pac-12 network business model look like a stroke of genius.
I'm sorry. You lost me, or not your fault. I got lost. Repeat the part where you said that they would have had more money had they just sold the women's package relative to what?
To the women's package is part of a group of like 20 team championships that the NCAA sold together to ESPN. If the women's basketball was basically an a la carte offering, the women's tournament, it would be worth much more.
Yeah.
It could be worth $100 million.
But you're not talking men's basketball in that.
No, just the women's. The men's basketball tournament is like $1 billion a year deal.
Okay, okay. So you're talking like maybe like men's soccer, men's baseball, women's soccer.
Right. All the Olympic sports are sold to ESPN together, and that has undermined the value of the women's tournament if it were sold separate.
Right. Yeah. Well, it just seems like a bad business model, like you're talking about. They got to go out and maximize revenue for those sports, and they're not doing it. I know this, that women's sports is growing in popularity. There's no question about that. Social media is helping that. And if there's an opportunity for the NCAA or their member schools to make more money off of those sports, then they should absolutely do that, especially if they're going to be asked to spend more money on those sports down the road, which it looks like they're going to be asked to do. All right, man. John, great stuff. Always love having you on. Always spirited discussions. Love the intel. And we'll talk in a week, man. Thank you, pal.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot, guys.
You got it. John Wilner with us on the radio show. Let's come back and revisit what's happening at the VMAC, Huey. Jamal Adams still holding out. Dwayne Brown still holding out. How much of a mood would you be in if you're Pete Carroll to give a 36-year-old left tackle a brand-new contract? We'll come back and discuss that next on Softy and Dick Without Dick. Hugh Millen for Dick right here on 950 KJ.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.